Open up, if you will, your Bible to John chapter 10. I'm going to continue talking about something I've talked about the last two Wednesday nights. And the title here is, I Hear Voices. I Hear Voices. And I've been hearing voices for a while now. How about you? And maybe people think you're odd if you hear voices. But I tell you, if you're a believer and you're not hearing His voice, something's wrong. He always intended that we would hear His voice, that we would know Him, that we would know when He speaks to us, that we would be familiar with Him and His voice when He speaks to us. I don't know about you, but I have worked diligently in my life to learn how to hear from God. And that's something very precious to me. I don't want to lose that, and I don't want to get off base. I don't want to stop hearing Him, or I certainly don't want to hear another voice and think that's His voice. I want to know how He speaks to me. I want to hear Him when He speaks, and I want to follow Him. John chapter 10, verse 1, Jesus is talking to those that are closest to Him, and He says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber." It's good for you to know tonight that there is in this world a thief and a robber. There is. And you encounter him in all kinds of ways that he manifests himself. You encounter him, a thief and a robber. He's there to, you know, to do what thieves do, to steal. "But he who enters the door by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." Again in the scripture, again and again in the scripture, we are compared to sheep, and we are his sheep, and he is our shepherd. Jesus is the shepherd. I remind you of Psalm 23, the Lord is our shepherd. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Say, I am his own sheep. He is my own shepherd. He leads me. And I follow. Verse 4, "And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them." I'm so glad he goes before us. There's not any situation, any circumstance in your life that God hasn't already gone before you. And not only that, I can tell you from other scriptures, he has prepared the way for you. He's gone before you and he's prepared the way for you. So there's nothing that you're facing tonight, nothing you ever have faced or that you ever will face. I don't know about you, but this gives me really great comfort to know there's not anything up ahead that God hasn't already gone before me and faced it and prepared the way for me and prepared me for it. Isn't that wonderful? Because I don't know the future. I don't know the end from the beginning, but he does know. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows tomorrow. I don't know about tomorrow. God knows about tomorrow. And he's my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He's already gone into tomorrow and he's seen it. He prepared the way for me. He's made, the Bible says, in Isaiah, he'll make the rough places smooth and the crooked places straight. Dr. King quoted him on Sunday. Not in here, but his recording from 50 years ago. But that's what he does in our lives. He makes those rough places smooth, those crooked places straight. He goes before us. Thank God. That's part of the job of the shepherd. He's looking out for us. Thank God. The sheep follow him. And then he goes, it says, he goes before them and the sheep follow him. Now the sheep, that's their job. Your job as a sheep is to follow him. Learn his voice, discern his voice, hear his voice. Hey, no, that's my shepherd talking. That's my shepherd's voice. And then follow him. And it's not that hard because we have been doing this since we were little bitty kids. Little bitty kids. We learned to follow the shepherd's voice. And that part of our lives, the shepherd was mama. And when you would, you know, sometimes I remember this as a little kid, I would get lost sometimes in the grocery store because my family, my mom had to buy so many groceries and she was always in a hurry. I have four brothers. They ate a lot. And so she'd go to the grocery store. I'd go to the grocery store with her and she'd be piling up buggies. You know, sometimes it'd be two buggies, food everywhere, falling out. She's always in a hurry because she's got to get home to make this big meal. And so there, and sometimes I'd wander off. And I didn't know where my mama was. But it wouldn't be long I could figure out where she was because I knew my mama's voice. I could hear, and she'd be inevitably talking to somebody somewhere. And I would hear. And I could pick her voice out of a big crowd. It's funny. Now you hear one of my kids was listening to the podcast from Sunday. And she and some of her friends were listening to it. And I got a text from her saying, "Well, I can sure hear you laughing." you know, they can pick my, I wasn't on the mic, but they could hear me in the crowd laughing. Then my sheep know my voice. They know my laugh. And it's just really funny how you can hear, you know that voice. You know mama's voice when you're a little kid. You know, last week I told you about my puppies. Well, my puppies now, they think I'm their mama. And because we, you know, the mama weaned them and now I'm their mama. And they know my voice when they can tell the difference between my voice and somebody else's voice. And they're just little dumb puppies. But now me and you, that should comfort all of us, because if little dumb puppies can do it, and a 5-year-old can do it, you and me can do it. There's hope for you tonight. You might say, well, I don't know much about hearing from God. Well, there's great hope for you tonight, because you're his sheep and he's your shepherd. It's normal. It's natural. It's to be expected for the sheep to know the shepherd's voice. It's not that hard, I'm telling you. But you got a purpose to do it. And then once you hear him, then you got to decide, I'm going to follow him. Ha ha. He doesn't make you follow. You follow him. Notice sheep, they don't fence in sheep, and they don't put a bridle around a sheep, and they don't put a bit in a sheep's mouth. They just expect a sheep to follow. They're different than other animals. They don't have them all secure. They just lead them and expect the sheep to follow. And that's how God is with us. He doesn't have barbed wire around our lives, making us go his way. He doesn't have a bit in our mouth where he pulls us and a bridle on us where he makes us go a certain way. He doesn't have, you know, a yoke on us. He just leads and expects us to follow. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And part of that is just an understanding of what Nate stood here and talked to us about tonight, knowing that God is interested in doing us good. If the sheep know the shepherd is there for them, that the shepherd is there to protect them, that whenever the shepherd calls, there's something good on the other end of that call, they'll come. They'll come. It's just like with mama. When there's a call mama makes, you'll come because it's good, but there's that other call mama makes, you hide. Well, his call is always a good call. He's always calling us to greener pastures, to still waters, to something that will bring peace and health and wholeness for us, whatever it is. And that's why the sheep will respond, because they trust him, because they know he cares for them. And that's us knowing that he cares for us, knowing that he loves us. That's why we want to hear his voice. You got to know that. You got to know God is for you. God is for you. God wants to do good for you. He wants to be good to you. That you got to know that and understand it. That will give you motivation to follow him. It's not about following him just because he's God. He is God, and that's a good reason to follow him. But it's following him because you know he loves you, because he has your best interest at heart, because you know that whatever he leads you to do, it's going to be good. It's the end thereof is good for you. The Bible says he purposes to do us good even in our latter end. Wherever he's taking us, it's a good place. So that's incentive for you and me to follow him. Wherever he's leading us, whatever he's saying to us, it's going to be for our good. Do you understand that? That's why I'm so interested in following him. One of many reasons, but it certainly gives you incentive. Some people, they serve God because they're supposed to. Some people, they serve God because they're afraid not to. I don't want my kids coming just because they're afraid not to. You understand? That would be sad, very sad relationship, that the only reason your kids obey you is because they're afraid not to. Wouldn't that be sad? Wouldn't you hate that, Matt, if that's the only reason the kids ever showed up is because they're afraid not to? Wouldn't that be sad? That's not the motivation that we have going at our house. That's not the motivation that God has going with his kids. He loves us, and it's his goodness that draws us to him. It's his goodness that brings us to the point that we forsake the other voices and turn from the other ways and go towards him. The Bible says it's his goodness that brings people to repentance. And repentance is that. It's turning from the other voices, turning from your waywardness and going towards him. It's because he's good. So his sheep know his voice, and they follow him. And then verse 5. I've been hearing voices, I tell you. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger. Now, it doesn't say here they won't hear a stranger. It doesn't say here that the shepherd blocks out the voice of all the strangers. That's not what it says. It doesn't say that the sheep, they're deaf except when the shepherd speaks. No, it says that they won't follow a stranger. Just in the same way that they choose to follow the shepherd, they choose not to follow the stranger. And see, that for you and me is the truth. We choose to follow the voice of the Lord, but we on purpose choose not to follow the voice of the stranger. We choose on purpose to forsake that voice, to not follow that voice, to not respond to that voice. And so one of the things that I've been doing these weeks is trying to help, you know, paint a picture of what does God's voice sound like, and then what are these other voices? Because there are many other voices. The Lord has one voice. His is but one voice of many voices that we hear. And we hear them. We're on planet Earth, and those voices are free to speak. They are. They're free to speak. This is, when we're here, we're exposed to it. Now in heaven, there are not all those voices. It's gonna be good in heaven. You're not going to have fiery darts coming at you all the time. Isn't that good? There's not going to be all these, you know, voices causing confusion, all these things pulling on you. I tell you, I don't think we can even conceive what heaven's like. People get fixated on what it looks like, or maybe, I tell you, I think just the state of peace in heaven is so beyond what we could ever even fathom. That there is not this pull on you all the time. There's not the flesh. Think of that. Think of just laying down these bodies. Woo, that's going to be good. Such limitation. Not to mention the decay. But you're putting that off. But then just all that you're exposed to, just by, I mean, the planet Earth is a dirty place. And there's just a lot of toxic things happening here. And I don't mean environmentally. I'm talking about spiritually and in the realm of the spirit. I'm talking about there's fiery darts coming at you. There are thoughts. There's fear. That's, I mean, come on. Think about it. All right. I don't want to get caught up in that. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. They run when they don't know the voice of the strangers. And that's a really good point I haven't made. It's this. They are not well acquainted with the voices of strangers. One really sad, sad testimony of people in the church is they actually are very well acquainted with the voice of strangers. They're used to listening to them. They're used to following the voice of strangers. Isn't that sad? That there are many believers that are actually more acquainted with the voice of strangers than they are the voice of the Lord. Because that's the voice they've been choosing to follow, these other voices. Well, we've tried to identify what those voices are. I'll talk more about it in a minute. All right. Let's talk a minute about his voice. There are many voices. There's only one voice from God. And some of the things I've told you are this. His voice always aligns perfectly with what? His word. His voice always agrees with his word. His voice always says what his word says. They're never out of alignment. He never tells you to do anything or lead you in any way that would stray you from the word. He's always leading you in line with his word. So we know that, and thank God we have the word. Many people for most of the history of man, they didn't have the word in written form. They didn't have the word they could sit on their laps. You do realize that for a whole lot of time, people went to church and the people who preached didn't even speak a language that they understood. They sat in chairs and listened to people actually not speak in other tongues, speak in foreign languages that they didn't understand. And they sat there without the word in their language. They weren't allowed to approach the word, even if they could read it. They weren't allowed to have access to it. You are so privileged. If anybody could hear from God, it's you. You're sitting there thinking, well, you know, I don't know. I'm telling you, if there's anybody who's had the tools to hear from God, it's you. Who's had the revelation available, it's you. My goodness. Nate got up here and he read off his telephone the Bible. You and me are spoiled. His voice always aligns perfectly with his word. Now, here's another thing we know about his voice. His voice is peace. It brings peace. It leads us in peace. His voice, when he speaks, it brings peace and he leads us in peace. So his voice, it brings peace. His voice is love. It leads us to love. So whatever he's, because that's what his word says, is we're to love one another. His voice is always leading you to love. We talked about that a little, I think, last week. And his voice leads us to sow seeds that will lead to a good harvest. These are just some things I know based on the scripture, that whatever his voice is leading you to do, that will be your action. The decision you make will be a seed towards a future harvest, and it'll be a good future harvest that you want. So you can look at that and say, where's this going? What's the end of this? That'll help you to know if it's the voice of the Lord. I want to stop for or just dwell for a moment on this. I mentioned it, but I want to take a little more time with it. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1 tells us something else about his voice. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 20, it says this: wisdom cries aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open square. She cries out in the chief concourses. At the openings of the gates in the city, she speaks her words. So wisdom cries aloud. His voice is actually wisdom. His voice is what gives voice to wisdom. His voice is wisdom. And so that's, you think, well, that of course it is. That's good, but I want to keep going here. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. I read through the first 8 chapters of Proverbs this afternoon. I'm telling you, why are we not just reading Proverbs constantly? You'd sure look a lot smarter if you did. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. You know what his voice is? Knowledge and understanding. From his mouth, from what he speaks, come knowledge and understanding. That's his voice is wisdom. From his voice, his mouth, come knowledge and understanding. And now let's go to chapter 3 and see what the benefit of this is in your life. Chapter 3, we'll read in verse 13. It says this: happy. Who here wants to be happy? Happy is good. I tell you, people pay big bucks and don't get happiness. People take many pills and don't get happiness. People do a lot of things and don't get happiness. But the Bible tells you how to get happiness. Happy, verse 13, is the man who finds wisdom. And I could tell it to you this way. Happy is the man who hears his voice. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Happiness will come in your life from hearing the voice of the good shepherd and following him. One of the things the shepherd leads you to is happiness. Happiness. Maybe you don't even know what that word means. You haven't had very much of it in your life. Well, God wants you to have happiness. But following wisdom and following his voice is what brings you happiness, not following the other voices. The problem is we have sought happiness through following other voices, and it hasn't ended up so well for us. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her, talking about wisdom, the voice of the good shepherd, her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. All the things that you desire can't compare to hearing the voice of the good shepherd. Everything that people are seeking and trying to find and trying to have in their lives, all the things that the world seeks and all the things that most of us have spent a lot of time seeking, those things cannot even compare to what the good shepherd will lead us to when we follow his voice. That's the truth. That's the Bible. And then it goes on to say, length of days, long life, is in the vitamin jar. No, long days, length of days, a long, healthy life, quality of life, a long, good life is in her right hand. So when you're following the voice of the good shepherd, he's leading you into something that will lead you to a long life. And in her left hand, riches and honor, honorable riches, riches and honor. That's where the good shepherd's leading us. That's what following his voice will do for you. And then listen, her ways, he's talking about the voice of the good shepherd leading you, wisdom, are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. Boy, that right there is enough, isn't it? Isn't that just what I read? That's enough reason to spend every day of your life following the voice of the Good Shepherd. It is. Because that right there, what can compare to what I just read? Happiness, pleasantness, long, healthy life, riches and honor. All the things you desire can't even compare to what you're going to get by following the voice of the Good Shepherd. Well, that's good preaching. All right. So just another incentive to follow his voice. But then there are those other voices that we've talked about for 2 weeks, and tonight we're going to talk on. I'm not going to go back and review all the others. I spent 2 weeks talking about other ones. Tonight I'm going on to some new ones. Turn over to Mark chapter 4. Let's talk about some other voices that you would hear. Last week we ended on talking about the voice of pride, the voice of your own ego. And tonight we're taking up with something else. Mark chapter 4, let's begin reading in verse 13. Now these are some good verses for you to read and meditate on. Maybe these are some good verses to find yourself in. We talk all the time here about finding yourself in the Word. This is a good verse. These are some good verses to look at and try to figure out where you are. Maybe let God speak to you. And you scream, ouch! And then make some corrections. Verse 13, he said to them, this is Jesus again, he said, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear Satan, that's the stranger, comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground who, when they hear the word, immediately they receive it with gladness. Yay! And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. And afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. These are the ones you got to watch out about, too. I mean, all these you got to watch out about. But this one, this can get sticky, because you're the Wednesday night crowd. I want to really focus you in on the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word. And the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in, choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. Which means this. These people were following the voice of the Good Shepherd. And they were bearing fruit. But something came along and distracted them. Something came along and captured their attention. A voice came along and they began to listen to it. And it pulled them off of listening to the voice of the Good Shepherd. And there's not one of us in here tonight that this hasn't happened to. And there's not one of us in here tonight that isn't susceptible to this. Because you think, you know, I'm following along. God's working in my life. I'm bearing fruit. He's able to use me, able to do things through me and with me. And things are going well. But you need to be watchful. And you need to, you know, be mindful of the fact that you are susceptible to other voices. And here he tells us some voices, the cares of this world. We talked about that the 2 weeks ago when we talked about fear and the cares of this world that come in. Those are those worrisome thoughts the enemy brings to you. And then the second one, the deceitfulness of riches. And then the third one, the desires for other things. We talked about that, the lust of the flesh. These things that capture your attention. But tonight I want to take a moment and talk about the middle one, because we haven't really talked about that one, the deceitfulness of riches. When that comes in, it causes you to become unfruitful. And then it goes on and talks about the good ground that bears fruit. Now, the deceitfulness of riches. It's really critical, I think, that we talk about that, because we live in America. And if there's anybody who could get caught up, see, we're marketed to more than any other people on earth. We are marketed to. People target us. People are sitting around in other nations thinking up products that they can sell to you and to me. So they can manufacture them by the shipload and send them over here so you will buy them. Because we have more disposable income than any people on earth. And we're so susceptible just because of where we live. But you don't have to be an American to be caught up in the deceitfulness of riches. It's common to every man. And basically it's this. It's the lie that is told. It's the deceiving voice that comes to you that says if you have more, life will be better. If you have more, the more you have, the happier you'll be. The more you have, the more people will like you. You have to have stuff to have, you know, to make it in life. And you got to have a lot of stuff. And the more stuff you can get, the better off you'll be. Until you get a whole lot of stuff and you realize stuff is a burden. And paying for the stuff after the fact is even a bigger burden. All the stuff that you accumulated when you were trying to get stuff so you could look good and everybody think you're great. I mean, it's just like craziness. But there's a deceitfulness of riches. There's another part of the deceitfulness of riches, which is this. It's kind of like the man that we talked about last week that had gotten this big harvest, and he said, "Oh man, you have done so well. Look at you. You can." And he decided to tear down his barns and build bigger and stuff all his stuff in the bigger barns. See, deceitfulness of riches, you get the real quickly. You start getting the focus on yourself. It really feeds into pride. But here's the thing with riches. Riches mean security in this world. People think, if I get enough stuff, I'll be secure. If I get enough stuff, I'll be safe. And see, that's really important to people, to be secure, to be safe. I don't have to worry. If I won that publisher's clearinghouse thing they got going right now that they're going to draw and come to somebody's door in just a few days where you're going to get $5,000 a week for life, if that were me, I'd have it made. And they even came up with a better one to appeal to that. Not only are you going to get $5,000 a week, but someone else of your choosing is going to get $5,000 a week for the rest of their life. So Gary, if you win, you can name Preston, and he, not only will you get it, but Preston will. Boy, do you see how that's really appealing to your security? Because we all, you know, we're all concerned about who we're leaving behind, so we're going to leave them something too. I can enjoy mine and don't have to worry about leaving them an inheritance. Because Publishers Clearinghouse is going to see about them. There is that security that's attached to riches, but it's a lie. It's a lie. Because you remember the guy we read about last week that was going to pull down his barns and build bigger and stuff all his stuff in there because he was doing so good. I mean, he should have been secure. He was set for life. That's what he told himself. Eat, drink, and be merry. You are set. But what the scripture went on to say is he died that very night. So even though he had a bunch of stuff, there was no security in it. Stuff doesn't give you security. It doesn't. There is no security in it. So that's a part of the deceitfulness of riches. But 1 Timothy, I have to read this to you, 1 Timothy chapter 6. I think I'm Pastor Matt up here tonight giving y'all all these scriptures. I know y'all think I don't know any, but he gave me some to use, so I have some here. First Timothy chapter 6, verse 9, it says, "But those who desire to be rich," see, it's talking about that drive in people. And everybody, I'm going to tell you, everybody has it, and you have to deal with it in your life. There's a drive within you. And I don't mean something that's in you that we could call industriousness, something that enables you to be productive, that's godly. I'm talking about this desire to be rich because what it's going to do for you, what it's going to give you, security. It's going to make you somebody. It's going to give you something that really is a lie. It's a deception. We were in the mall on Monday. With the kids, and we're walking through the mall, and Grayson had wandered off from us, because this is Grayson, and he went in the Mont Blanc store. Mont Blanc, but there is an O and an A, but anyway, Mont Blanc, M-O-N-T-B-L-A-N-C, yeah, Mont Blanc. Okay, anyway, he goes in the store. We're in another city. He goes in the store, and he goes in. And see, we're just walking through the mall. We don't know where he's gone. We figure eventually he'll call us on the cell phone or find us. So we're really not concerned. And he comes back and he tells us he went in the store, and he wrote with a pen. How much was the pen, Matt? No, it was $6,000. So first of all, I'm wanting to know, who's the idiot that let you hold the pen? And how bored were they today? But he went in and he wrote with this pen. And this is what he told us. And he was in there writing it and he was holding it. And he said, this is what he said. He said, it shocked me because when I wrote, I thought I was going to be able to write beautifully. But when I wrote, it was just my chicken scratch. And he was seriously, he in his mind had it thought, if this is a $6,000 pen, when I write, it's going to look beautiful. But when he wrote, it was still him writing. Isn't that funny? That's the deceitfulness of riches. That's what it is. In your mind, somehow or another, this is going to be great. I'm writing with this really expensive pen. And it's going to do something that's going to make me not be me. But guess what? It's still you. That's, you know, you can put on, it doesn't matter how much your shoes cost, it's still you. It doesn't matter what you're wearing, what you're driving, where you're living, it's still you. It's none of it's going to fix you. That's the deal. That's the deception. You think more, something else is going to fix, I'm in this other place doing this other thing. No, it's still you. That's why you need transformation that only comes from God to change you. And this nothing else is going to fix it. No matter where you live, what you do, it's still you. There's the deception. Verse 9 of 1 Timothy chapter 6. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare. Does anybody know what a snare is? A trap. They fall into a snare, a trap. There's a trap in riches that you don't see going in. It looks good. It smells nice. It's manicured. It's, you know, been clean. It's sprayed with the finest parfum. It's just really, you know, it's great. The taste is exquisite. But on the other end is a trap, a snare. And you go for it and it'll get you. And it's not just the people that live in Hollywood who experience this, people. See, we think, if I walked in here tonight and said, I want everybody in this room who's rich, I want you to stand up. And three of you would stand up and say, I'm rich in Jesus. But the reality is, in this world, you are rich. If you are an American, you are rich. Come on, I'm not going to go through all the stats and tell you, but I'm just telling you, if you got money in the bank, you got clothes on your back, you have a car. Are you kidding me? You have a car and there's gas in your car? Well, it's not a very nice car. If it is a car, it's the truth. If you've eaten three meals in the last, 24 hours, you are rich. There's a trap, and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. Boy, that's a bad scripture. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Boy, I hate that part, because it doesn't say here the enemy pierced them. It doesn't say here that someone came and attacked them. The love of money will lead you to pierce yourself through with many sorrows. You're doing it to yourself. I'm telling y'all, this is a bad voice. The voice of riches, the deceitfulness of riches, that voice will lead you. And this, I'm telling you, this country and the world itself is filled with this. It's not just here, it's all over the world. The world is filled with this voice. It comes in many pitches. It's spoken many languages. You know, it's spoken. It is. But this voice is so dangerous and so destructive. And this voice is just running amok. And many people, many good people, many of God's people have been, they have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. They have brought their own destruction upon themselves because of the deceitfulness of riches. That's why over and over and over in the scripture, we are admonished in scriptures like seek first the kingdom of God. That's not just a saying, people. That is a lifestyle, and it is difficult. it is difficult to seek first the kingdom of God. It's difficult to really put him first in your life and to live for him. And it's interesting, the guy that came to Jesus, we call him the rich young ruler, the guy that came to Jesus and he was so proud of himself. Again, this is really kind of tied up with where we ended last week. He was so puffed up with pride because he has kept all the rules. He has been perfect with the law, he says. You know, I've done everything. I've observed them all since I was a youth. I've done all these things, Jesus. Tell me, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus looked at him and said, I tell you what, why don't you sell what you have and give to the poor? And the Bible says he went away sorrowfully because he had many treasures, many riches, many possessions. Now, how in the world does how much what he had have anything to do with what Jesus told him? You're telling me if he'd only had a little bit, a few treasures, he would have done it? No, the reality is the man's heart was the issue, not how much he had. And it didn't matter how much he had. He could have had a little bit or he could have had a whole lot. He still would have walked away sorrowfully. Because it was a heart issue. That was a man who was not seeking first the kingdom of God. That was a man who was not really interested in what God's voice was saying to him. It was a man who was caught up with the deceitfulness of riches. And, you know, again, we sit here and we say, well, you know, we don't have much. That couldn't be us. I'm telling you, people are obsessed with they're listening to the voice of the deceitfulness of riches, and it keeps them in bondage because the voice says, well, you don't have much. You can't do much. That's part of the deceitfulness of riches, too, is, well, you know, I know this is what you want to do, but you don't have the money to do it. That's a deception about riches. That's a deceitfulness of riches. Oh, who are you to do such and such? You don't have the means to do that. There's nobody recorded in the Bible that when God spoke to them, did they have the means to do what God told them to do. But see, that's a deception of riches. You think I have to have it before I can do it. But see, here's the reality. Here is the truth. It's when you start to do it that the provision will come. It's when you start to obey the voice of the Good Shepherd. He leads you where the green pastures are. He leads you in the way you should go. He leads you to where the provision is. And so the deception will say, no, you can't do it. Don't go. It's the stranger's voice standing here saying, don't do it. Don't do it. You can't do it. You don't have the money to do it. You can't tithe. You can't afford to tithe. That's the voice of a stranger. That's deception of riches. I'm telling you, there's so much involved in this one thing. In the reality of where we live day after day. The decisions we make day after day. I got to have all this stuff. I got to get this stuff. I can't share with my brother. Lord, don't speak to me to do that. What will I do? I think about Nate and when the Lord dealt with him to give his truck away. That was his vehicle. That was the only way he had to get around. And the Lord told him to give it away. And he didn't want to. And he argued with God about it. But he knew that was what the Good Shepherd was leading him to do. But see, the deceitfulness of riches is, well, what are you going to do without a car? You've got to have it. You've got to have it. You can't do without it. But we just sang, you are more than enough for me, didn't we? Do we believe that? Do we believe the Lord is our shepherd, I shall not want? Well, if the Lord is our shepherd and the shepherd says to give something away, he said, I shall not want. He must have provision. He must have a way to provide. Well, here's the reality. The Lord is my shepherd. He speaks to me to give my truck away. I shall not want. He's going to bring me a better truck, which is just what he did for Nate. Do you see what I'm saying? But we don't see it that way. We're deceived. We think, oh, if I let go of it, I'm not going to have it. Instead of recognizing it, if I let go of it, I just put a seed in the ground and God's bringing a harvest in my life. The only way I can get what I really desire in life is by letting go of what I do have. The only way I'm ever going to be really provided for is to invest what I do have. Oh, but one day I'm going to have this and I'm going to have that and then I'll be a blessing. You're lying. You're deceived. You are deceived. If you think one day I'm going to do this. No, it's all about what are you doing today? The prophet didn't come into the woman that her family, her sons were about to be sold and you know, as payment for a debt they owed. He didn't come in and say, okay, what are you hoping to have one day that you can do for the Lord? What are you hoping to have? You know, what is it that you hope to have? No, he said, what do you have? What do you have in the house? See, and that's where the deception of riches, it's all about what's one day going to be, what I could have, what I could be, what God could do, what I want to, I wish I could do more. I wish I could do something, but I can't. That's a lie. That's all this deceiving voice. There's the voice of deception. We're only getting to one voice tonight. I want to read you one scripture before we go. Proverbs chapter 10. I didn't know we'd spend one night. Man, evidently, we have some other voices we haven't got to here. There's at least three more voices I already have. If we could, this thing could just keep going on and on. Help me. Make it stop. I'm hearing voices. Okay, Proverbs chapter 10. Boy, this is good. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. The blessing of the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. The blessing of the good shepherd. The blessing of listening to and following the voice of the good shepherd. You see that? The Lord is my shepherd. The blessing of the good shepherd. The blessing that comes from following the voice of the good shepherd makes one rich. And he adds no sorrow with it. See, there's the deception of riches compared to following the voice of the good shepherd. Because riches, I read to you a moment ago, you have to know that in riches, there is a snare. There is a trap. There is in the deceitfulness of riches, there is a trap. There's a snare. It's going to bite you in the end. It's going to get you. It's going to hurt you. It's not going to be a blessing. There's going to be sorrow. There's going to be pain. That's what you get when you get in the trap, is there's pain and you're trapped and you're paralyzed and you're done. But the good shepherd, his voice, when we follow his voice, he makes us rich. And there's no sorrow. There's no pain. There's no trap. There's no snare. Isn't that good? That's his voice. That's where his voice takes us. And that's the difference between following the voice of the good shepherd and following the voice of a stranger, the one who deceives you about riches. Got one voice in. Praise God. Y'all stand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you tonight that we know the voice of the good shepherd. Thank you, Father, that you are our provider, that we can trust you, that we can seek you first. We can put your kingdom first. We can put what you say to us and lead us to do. We can put that first. We can obey you, listen to you, follow you. We don't have to worry about tomorrow and what it holds. We don't have to be concerned about our own welfare. You are our source. You are our provider. We trust in you and we can count on you. You make us rich and you don't add sorrow with it. You bless us, and there's no trap. There's no snare on the other end. And we thank you for that tonight. Father, reveal further to all of us. Show us, Father, how we can hear from you, how to follow you more closely, how to listen quickly and respond, just like I read Sunday during the offering message when I said that you take delight in, you treasure, that you refuse to do without. You prefer above other things a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver, a giver who listens to the voice of the good shepherd. Hallelujah. Thank you for it. Father, I pray for all the people of Good News Church. May we listen to and hearken diligently to the voice of the good shepherd, the voice of wisdom, the one that brings long, satisfying life, and the one that brings riches and honor.